Donald J. Valley.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm George Tassif with the Federal Public Defender's Office in Peoria, Illinois, representing the defendant appellant, Ronald Valley. In this case, Mr. Valley was sentenced to an upwardly departed guideline sentencing range, totaling 163 months. We respectfully submit that the district court erred in upwardly departing from the applicable guideline range, treating Mr. Valley as a career offender under 4B1.1 of the guidelines, and not linking the extent of the departure to the structure of the guidelines. 3553 subsection B of Title 18 allows for an upward departure if the case at hand presents an aggravating circumstance not adequately taken into consideration by the Sentencing Commission, and 4A1.3 of the guidelines holds that reliable evidence that is indicative of the defendant's criminal history category not being adequately reflective of the seriousness of his past criminal conduct or likelihood of recidivism allows the court to depart. In this instance, Mr. Valley is not a career offender. The district court, however, in upwardly departing, and this is in pages 38 and 39 of the appendix from the transcript of the third sentencing hearing, the district court stated, and I quote, "The bottom line is, I believe this man is a career offender, and that the law gives me the discretion to consider him as a career offender, and that the case is completely outside the heartland for bank robbery guidelines of this kind," unquote.
And then the court went on to talk about, he looked at the guidelines for career offenders and certainly gave his reasons why he chose the sentence once he got to the career.
Well, the interesting point is a little bit of background here, and I think it's important to do the math, as we have done on page 23 of our brief. Mr. Valley's guideline sentencing range was 63 to 78 months, which, along with the revocation case that was pending, premised upon the bank robbery, involved an additional 3 years of maximum statutory penalties. So Mr. Valley's total statutory maximum sentence, guideline plus revocation consecutive term, was 114 months. The district court declared, after making its findings, that he believed Mr. Valley was a career offender, and without stating how, the 139-month term was to be formulated, imposed 139 months, which is 12 months shy of the 151-month minimum term for career offender status, and then imposed a 24-month consecutive sentence. This record has no evidence whatsoever as to how Judge Mim formulated the 139-month term. U.S. versus Spears, relied upon by the government, says that if the defendant is a de facto career offender, that is, were it not for the disposition of prior cases being consolidated, he would otherwise qualify for a career offender sentence. This court affirmed Judge Mim in the Spears case by holding that the district court could impose a sentence that was directed towards the career offender guidelines. But it's important to note that in the Spears case, what Judge Mim did was he set the base offense level at a point midway between Meeks's base offense level and the career offender guideline level, midway. And in this instance, Judge Mim did not explain how he was arriving at the 139-month figure in imposing that as the sentence for the primary sentence and then adding on the additional 24 months. If we do the math according to Spears, the court can take the sentencing table and see that with Mr. Valley's base offense level of 22 for the bank robbery in the instant case, were he a career offender, it would be 32. subtract then 3 points off for acceptance of responsibility, and we're talking about the difference on the guidelines of between total offense level 29 versus 19. And still, Judge Mim is a good 18 months over the applicable guideline range if we adopt the Spears formula. So, recognizing that Mr. Valley had prior bank robberies in California and one from Florida that was consolidated with the California cases in the early 90s, recognizing that as one of his bases for upwardly departing, and then finding also that the fact that Mr. Valley committed this offense shortly after his release on supervision, into supervision from his earlier term of imprisonment, those are the only two factors the court is relying upon. Now we're saying that with respect to the recency of his commitment of the instant offense, that's taken into consideration by the guidelines in enhancing his criminal history score. That's 3 or 4 points right there, plus the mandatory consecutive sentence. So those factors that the court cite are clearly taken into consideration by the commission, which then leaves the question about the California robberies. Judge Mim then, at the tail end of the hearing, began relying upon a statement contained in Mr. Valley's 1993 California PSR that he had admitted committing 19 other uncharged robberies. And it was at that time that I immediately objected, and this is at page 38 of the sentencing transcript and page 38 of the appendix, where I cut in on the judge and I said, Your Honor, for the record, excuse me, I object to your reliance upon that because there has been, we weren't parties to that. I've not received discovery with respect to that. There's no 302 memorializing this. We don't know whether that's true, whether there's any factual basis to support it, whether there are specific banks referenced. Again, I don't have that information. That was my objection. And the judge, District Judge Mim's response was, well, if there was no objection made by Mr. Valley to the 1993 PSR, the judge stated, I can't imagine that would not be raised judicata in this case. Be that as it may, this court has held in a number of decisions that we cite that when the reliability of information that's relied upon and upwardly departing is challenged or uncorroborated, the court's got to make specific findings as to the reliability of that information. And that wasn't done here.
Did you ask him at the time?
I made a contemporaneous objection, and as the court can see from the transcript, the court resolved it by holding res judicata and then immediately entered into and began pronouncing sentence.
So did you ask for you? So you didn't ask for a hearing? Are you saying you didn't have an opportunity to ask for a hearing?
Well, when the court announced from the bench that it was relying upon that as a second basis for departure, I immediately made my objection, and the court overruled it on the spot and proceeded to pronounce sentence. As you can see from the transcript, Your Honor, you immediately after you denied my objection, went into, I did not ask for a hearing, but I was making every objection I could on the spot with respect to there being no corroboration or specifics with respect to something that appeared in a PSR in 1993. And that was the specific basis the court cited as grounds for this departure. So under Across and Angle and a number of other cases, this court has held, without regard to what the government's citing from other circuits, that if but for the defendant's consolidation of prior offenses, he otherwise would be a career offender or an armed career criminal for that matter. The court is clearly allowed to upwardly depart if it believes that the prior criminal misconduct is underrepresented by his criminal history score under the guideline. But it only allows a departure in the direction of career offender guidelines and doesn't allow the court to impose what is tantamount to a career offender sentence. And that's the rub in this case. Mr. Valley is no angel, but Mr. Valley is not a career offender. And because of the disposition of the California bank robberies, he was not a career offender when he was sentenced by Judge Mim. He should not, in my respectfully, be subject to a career offender sentence, and this court should vacate his sentence and remand for resentencing.
Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court. My name is Sarah Darrow, and I am an assistant U.S. attorney from the Central District of Illinois, and I represent the United States in this matter. I have 2 points to make regarding the extent of the departure. First of all, the defendant's argument that he received a career offender sentence rests on a faulty factual premise, and second, that the sentence in this case was reasonable and thoughtfully explained by the judge.
Well, let's get to the objection that he made to using the other 19 robberies and the fact that he didn't have an opportunity to present contrary evidence. Will you speak to that?
I will, Your Honor. Our position is that he waived this argument for appeal. The defense counsel just states that it was only at the last minute that the judge gave him notice that he was going to rely on these 19 prior bank robberies and departing upward. That's false. In fact, defense counsel received notice as early as he received the written pre-sentence report, in which the preparer of that pre-sentence report had stated that these were grounds that the judge could base an upward departure on, and specifically included a quote from the 1993 California pre-sentence investigation in which the defendant had confessed to at least 19 additional bank robberies that he was not convicted of. Even if this was not waived, it's too little too late. In fact, the defendant never made a genuine challenge to the reliability of the evidence, only that, and never requested a hearing on it. In fact, when the judge specifically asked numerous times, but even specifically at the sentencing hearing, is everything in the PSR accurate? And the defendant stood up and said, in the first sentencing hearing on page 12, as far as the accuracy of the PSR, I agree that the crimes were committed and is completely accurate. So the defendant himself didn't even challenge the accuracy of his prior statements from the 1993 PSR. They were not objected to in 1993, they were not objected to when the written PSR was received, and they were not objected to at the plea hearing and the first sentencing hearing, the second sentencing hearing, and only at the final 11th hour of the third sentencing hearing were they objected to by defense counsel, nor did he make a genuine challenge at that point. That's fundamentally unfair to the judge, who had given notice that he was relying on these. I mean, this was a pivotal and significant issue, these 19 prior uncharged bank robberies.
On the question of how the judge did the departure and how he did the calculation, you agree that it's not in the record how he specifically did it. I mean, in terms of, you know, calculating the numbers, saying, okay, 19 bank robberies, if he was convicted of 10 of those bank robberies, you know how the formula works with the points that are added. He didn't lay out those specifics.
Exactly. I agree that there was not a mathematical, artificial approach to his sentence of 139 months in this case. That is one approved method endorsed by this court, but it's not the only approved method. And what the judge did in linking it to the guidelines is he used the career offender range, which was 151 to 188 months in this case, as a reference point in which to link it to the guidelines and sentence him. And my understanding is when he explained it, the judge was explaining his sentence, he did look at the supervised release sentence and said, I could sentence you to 36 months. I don't think that's fair in this case. I'm sentencing you to 12 months less, being the 24. Then he looked at the bank robbery sentence and said, I could sentence you in the career offender range, or I'm looking at the career offender range as being 151 months. Because I think it was fair in looking at the supervised release sentence and reducing it by 12 months, I think it would be fair and appropriate to do that on the bank robbery charge. And therefore, he was only using it as a reference point, the career offender guideline as a reference point in which to sentence the defendant, and therefore felt that the 139 months was the fair sentence. What's important to note here in this case as well, Your Honors, is that the case authority that defendant cites in his brief, Ruffin and Engel, deal with a different factual situation in which the defendant was not at a criminal history category 6. Here, the defendant was already at a criminal history category 6. There were no more levels or categories in the guidelines for him to go to. So at that point, it made sense to analogize to the career offender guideline. And he did state, as the case was in Spears, that but for the consolidation of his 6 prior armed rob or bank robberies, one of them being armed, he would meet the criteria for a career offender today. And that is exactly the scenario in Spears in which the defendant Meeks had 15 prior convictions, and but for two state court assault convictions being combined, he would have met the criteria as well. And so therefore, this court has endorsed this methodology. And it's also important to note that he did not receive a sentence in the career offender range as defendant states. He received a sentence in the direction of the career offender range, just as this court endorsed in Spears. In fact, as I argue in my brief, he received a sentence two-thirds on the way towards the career offender range. He began at 63 to 78 month range, and the career offender range was 10 offense levels higher, 151 to 188, and the sentence of 139 months fell 7 offense levels between the 1 and 10. Therefore, it was two-thirds in the direction of. So we don't even, I'm not asking that this court make a decision as to whether or not he could sentence him in the career offender range, because that is not, in fact, what happened in this case.
Well, when you say that he was already at a number 6, a criminal history category 6, is there any mention in the record by the district court judge of that and discussion of that? Because I may have missed that.
Specifically as to stating, because you're at a criminal history category 6, I have nowhere left to go but career offender range, no. I think it is implied, though, I mean, he did adopt the findings of the pre-sentence report, and in fact, at the original, both parties agreed at the original sentencing hearing and plea colloquy on a 5-level upward departure. Both parties agreed that that was warranted, and then that's when we got into the scenario of the court not being satisfied with the only 120-month sentence unless he could run consecutive terms of mandatory supervised release, and that's why that was denied. So obviously, the court was aware that that everybody was in agreement, at least in the early stages, that an upward departure was warranted, and that upward departure was clear from the information contained in the pre-sentence report, as well as the discussions at hearings that it was from a criminal history category 6. That was never disputed, that he shouldn't be a criminal history category 6. In fact, even defense counsel argues in brief, and he did argue at the hearings, that in adjusting upwardly the criminal history category to a level 6, that all the factors that the judge considered in upwardly departing from the 6 were already considered. And I laid out in my brief why that was not true, and I think the judge was very clear on that those factors were present to an exceptional and unique degree that it also warranted. Not all the factors were taken into consideration. Plus, defense counsel ignores one of the most significant and pivotal matters, the 19 prior adult conduct that did not result in the criminal conviction. So ultimately, the question here is, did the judge explain why he was doing what he did? And I submit that he did. And he linked it to the guidelines by saying, here is a defendant. I am sentencing him to 139 months. That is eminently reasonable in light of the fact that this is the defendant's 26th bank robbery, a bank robbery that he committed after serving 108 months for 6 prior bank robberies, one of them armed, and while serving that 5-year supervised release for that prior bank robbery. It's not enough to consider the criminal history calculation departure or adjustment that he received because he committed this offense while on supervised release and because he committed this offense within 2 years. They don't take into consideration that it's the exact same offense. It is a bank robbery, the exact same offenses that he's committed in the past for the 26th time. And this is an ideal case of recidivism, and that is what time and time again the judge throughout all the hearings expressed his most concern on. And the class of offenders in the guidelines that is most similarly situated to this defendant is the career offender guideline. So for those reasons, I'd ask that the district court sentence be upheld.
Thank you.
Add some context to how all of this came about. As we set forth in the brief, there were 3 separate hearings. And at the very first sentencing hearing, when I answered the court's question whether we had objections to the PSR, I said at that time, no, we didn't, because we were prepared and we did attempt to present a proposed joint disposition for 120 months. The reason we did that, as is obvious from the brief and the record in this case, we were subject to a plea agreement at that time with an appeal waiver. And we could see the judge was clearly inclined towards an upward departure, and we were trying to cut our losses. when Judge Mehmed made it clear that he wouldn't go with the 120 because he couldn't give consecutive terms of supervised release, the deal was off. We were allowed to withdraw our plea agreement. We then resubmitted a new plea with no appeal waiver, and at the third sentencing hearing, I made it very clear that we still objected to any upward departure based on criminal history. So when the court began in its sentencing findings, specifically finding this 19 bank robbery business, I made a contemporaneous, immediate objection, cutting in on Judge Mehmed, and he quickly overrode it on a res judicata theory and proceeded immediately then to impose the career offender guideline, basically, of 139 months, 12 months under the 151 minimum, plus 24 on top.
Thank
so
you.
We got 50 months beyond his maximum sentence. Thank you.
We will proceed to case number 5, please.